When the cat is away, the mouse will play. You heard that before? You know that? What does it mean? Cat is compared to the supervisor, and the mouse compared to subordinates. When the supervisor is absent, subordinates will take advantage of situation and behave as they please, and thus they disregard and break the rules. In school, when the teacher is out, students were very noisy and rowdy. At home, when parents are not around, children are disorderly, loud, and clatters. This peace and order are not observed during the absence of authority. Human beings, we are inclined to follow our natural instinct. This is why authorities have been established. Everyone wants as they please. We want to do what we want to do. Our choices, it dictates our behavior. We may behave in godly righteousness or choose to follow worldly pattern of lifestyle, but all of us, everyone, we will give an account on the judgment day. That's for sure. That's for certain. So it is beneficial now and in eternity if we prioritize our eternal destination instead of indulging ourselves in temporal things. Well, in Christmas season or the celebration of Advent, does it cause us to be mindful, to remember that our Lord Jesus Christ will return sooner? Individuals who are busy indulging in worldly pleasure, they are not amused when they are reminded of the return of Christ. They would rather gratify their sinful self than to prepare for their eternal destiny. Worldly pleasure, it's very attractive to the worldly mindset. Well, it happened in the past. It happens in all generations. In the time of David, King David himself confessed that he was also envious of the materialistic generation he had. And pertaining to worldly behavior, he testified in Psalm chapter 73, verse 16 to 20. Let's read together. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. Make no mistake. Make sure you have prepared. Christ will return anytime soon than expected. And the celebration of Advent season reminds us when Christ was born as human on earth. He will return, surely, certainly, again, maybe sooner, and takes us into his heaven. But while we are waiting for him, we must store treasures for ourselves. Remember that, store treasure for yourselves. We must always encourage one another, even if we preach the gospel of Christ, in season or out of season. Let's read again verse 5 and verse 6. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standard in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. Everyone will face the Lord on judgment day. Nobody can miss that, just as everyone would not miss being born in this earth. We will be judged one day. But be very sure you enter heaven. Do you have that this morning? If you still have little doubt in your heart, ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith. Help me grow in my faith. Help me believe that I will enter your heaven. When it says that the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, what did Apostle Peter imply? Did Peter share the gospel even to prisoners who were sentenced to death? Well, Peter was imprisoned. He was sentenced to death in Rome. Accordingly, he may have encouraged fellow prisoners to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Emperor Nero issued a decree that it was illegal to be a Christian. If you were a Christian at that time and you were living in Rome, you would be charged with a crime. Death was the punishment of anyone who preached the gospel of Christ. And those who were found to be practicing Christianity, they were sentenced to death according to human standard. In eternity, anyone who heard the gospel of Christ will be judged according to the standard of God. If they sincerely believe in Christ, they will live with God forever. Prisoners or not, everyone will certainly face death. That is, if Christ would not return sooner. Pray that Christ would return sooner so that we may not experience death. Christians, we will also give account before God also. Each of us, the Lord has given us a spiritual gift. All believers is given one or more spiritual gift according to the grace of God. He mandated us, give us responsibility, preach the good news, tell the good news of God to others. Have you been doing that lately, especially in this Christmas celebration? During your conversation, what's your preparation in Christmas? What do you prepare in Christmas? You may ask that person, why do we celebrate Christmas? If the person do not know that celebration is the remembering of the coming of Christ, then take that time, pray. Would you like me to share what I believe, why we celebrate Christmas? And when the person says yes, then say, Christ came, he was crucified, so that anyone who believed that he was crucified for our sins would be saved. Would you believe that? If they cannot, then pray, continue to pray that they will be given faith. If they ask, I don't believe, do you want to believe? Ask God for faith, that God may give you faith. Just simple as that. Don't be too complicated like preachers. You do not need to do that. If you are not able to explain everything, then invite them to the Maples Evangelical Church. Well, join us in our celebration. You might hear more. I may not be very good in explaining, but somebody might be able to explain to you in my church. I understand, but I'm just short of word. Just explain to them that you are not just eloquent enough to explain the gospel of Christ. But if you're willing to do that, if God can use you to invite others, that is one way of earning your treasures in heaven. It's not just only about standing behind the pulpit. King David confessed in Psalms chapter 40, verse 5. Let's read. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell your deeds, they would be too many to declare. And similarly, you may have been thinking about that there are a lot of things that you may want to praise God for that you just cannot express it in word. That's what we have learned last night. The indescribable, unspoken word and spoken gift of God. You just cannot use exact word, right word, to describe the gift of God because there are too many. Whenever, wherever God situates you, your situation right now, there might be somebody that you are acquainted with. Tell that somebody, tell others about the goodness of God. Just simple, like you've been driving and you just saw somebody out there in accident. Wow, that was, you know, the other day there was accident here at Inkster. I feel bad, but still I can praise God that we were not in there. Those things you can praise God for. You can talk about somebody who had been in accident or the accident that caused your traffic, but still you have to praise God because you were not in there. You are alive because you would be telling others that you believe God had saved you and you were not the one in the accident. When someone appreciate or notice your good behavior, you're so good, you're so smiling. Why? And then tell them you believe Christ. Tell them, well, Christ changed my life. Just simple as that. My life was changed when I believe in Christ. And then challenge them, do you want your life to be changed? If they say yes, then tell them about Jesus Christ. If they want changes in their lives, encourage them to believe in Christ. Ask yourself, reflect this morning, do you desire to tell potential believers that God loves them also? Do you have that desire in your heart that God knows the best for them? Normally, if we look at ourselves, we prioritize things that attract us, the things that catch our attention, right? And here is a reality. Whoever controls our life, whoever controls our life, we follow. If that authority cannot control us, we don't follow. But whoever controls our life, that's what we follow. Truly, whatever we treasure, whatever we cherish in our heart, we do our best to preserve it. We do our best to secure that treasure that we desire, we cherish. So if we cherish Christ in our life, we allow Christ to control us. If Christ control us, we prioritize His mandate to witness for Him. We want our life to be a testimony that we believe in Christ, that Christ is our Lord. Now, we can learn from the servant of Abraham. The servant of Abraham, Abraham instructed him, go to my relatives, go travel east. Get a wife for my son, Isaac, from my relatives. That was the instruction. And the servant brought with him camels, loaded with precious gifts, traveled several weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks. He found the relatives of Abraham. He found Rebecca, and Rebecca agreed. She agreed to become the wife of Isaac. Just easy, just like that. How was that? How did Rebecca had that confidence that he is not deceived, or that person before her was real and genuine servant of Abraham? It narrated in Genesis chapter 24, verse 54 to 56. Let's read this. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, "Send me on my way to my master." But her brother and her mother replied, "Let the young woman remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go." But he said to them, "Do not detain me. Now that the Lord has granted success to my journey, send me on my way so I may go to my master." Look at that. Just reflect on that. Send me on my way so I may go to my master. The servant and his companions, they tested the generosity of the family of Rebekah. They were given a place to sleep. They were given food. They ate and they drank. They could have agreed to spend few more days, just 10 days. What is 10 days? Drinking and eating. But he prioritized his mission purpose to bring wife to his master Isaac. What does it imply? It was not mentioned, but the servant may have experienced that serving his master Abraham was far better than to indulge himself in eating and drinking among other people. You might have thought, well, this food, I have better food home. This drink, I can drink as much as I want in my master's house, Abraham, my master Abraham. That is what I interpret when he said, "Send me on my way so I may go to my master." He has the opportunity to run away, but he did not. He has the opportunity. Nobody is looking at them. He can just connive with his companions. "Don't tell everybody in our master Abraham. Let's just enjoy ourselves. Why not? We can eat as much as we want. We can drink as much as we want and indulge ourselves. It's just 10 days. We can wait for that, right?" But he did not. He did not send me on my way so I may go to my master. He emphasized that I may go. So I may go to my master. He prioritized his master. That is the kind of servant that we want, that God wants. That was why Abraham trusted him in that mission. He can just choose anybody as wife of his master Isaac, but he prayed. Actually, in the story, he prayed, "Lord, let it be that the woman who would let me have a drink will be the woman you want." He said that the woman you want to be the wife of my servant, of my master Isaac. He was very prayerful. Now, how do you interpret what Christ Jesus declared in Luke chapter 10, verse 15? Let's read this together meditatively. "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. the Pharisees who love money heard all this and were staring at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your heart. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." Now, what do you value? What do you value highly? It says, it is detestable in God's sight. When the servant of Abraham implied that he prioritized to accomplish the mission purpose that his master Abraham gave him, he also testified to the relatives of Abraham, relatives of Rebekah, that life as servant of Abraham was far better than leisure drinking and leisure eating anywhere. That was what he implied. I love my life far better than this. I love to be with my master Abraham. That was what he implied when he said that, "Send me to my master. I will go to my master." The servant was faithful. Why? Probably because Abraham may have been very good master, very generous to the servant. The servant experienced that love of Abraham that he did not want to miss that anywhere. He wanted to be faithful servant to Abraham. In this world, it offers attractive practical things that may dissuade even believers from prioritizing our mandate to preach the gospel of Christ. Have you experienced much of the indescribable gift of God in your life so that you want to be with Christ more than the material world, material things that this world offers? Be prayerful, brethren. Be prayerful. You might be attracted something that may persuade you to forget your faith in God. Be prayerful. Let's read verse 7 again. Then the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. The end of all things is near. How often do you pray? I pray that you would always pray continually. That we would always remember to pray. There's a prayer I always pray, that every time I close my eyes, wherever I am, I would thank God, I would pray. Whenever I close my eyes, and the Lord is faithful, He remind me, whenever I close my eyes, He remind me to pray, He remind me to thank Him. Do you pray while window shopping? This Christmas season is shopping season also. In North America, we have this Boxing Day. You are going to watch Pacquiao boxing. No, it's not the boxing, the gold pot in the box, the things that you are going to buy, that is why it's called Boxing Day. They are putting it in a box. I thought it was a boxing tournament before. But it's not. So do you go to marketplace only when you buy something? Or you go to the grocery shopping malls for window shopping? Or you go to shopping malls for leisure walking? They take that as exercise, as form of exercise. Yeah, you go. If you want to have walking exercise and leisurely walking, just go window shopping. And that would be, well, additional form of exercise, if you would consider that. Now, if you're in your window shopping, if you see a product that catches your attention, most probably you would buy it if you have that if you have budget for that, if you have money, extra money. Or do you pause? Lord, I like this. This is beautiful. This is nice. I think I want this. This is big boy toys, big girl toys, or just toy for me. Do you pray? Do you ask the Lord? Or you just buy it by instinct? To be prayerful, even with trivial things, it helps us practice spiritual alertness. Continue to pray. That is why the Bible says, pray continually. Pray whenever you can. We don't control our life. If we think we are controlling our life, we are not. It may be that the things that attract us is the one that controls us. What is it that you desire the most? There's this fictional story about a rich man. This rich man had experienced poverty in his younger days, so he strived hard to work in the food industry so that he will have no food. He can have food on their table for his family, and he became powerful. He became rich in the food industry. Even in his old age, he strived hard to be prominent in the business society. But one day he became ill. He was sickly. And then he tried to eat that delicious food that he himself used to promote his business in the food industry. When he ate, he had no appetite. That delicious food that he had before him, he just do not want it. As he waited for his death, sadly, his children do not care about it, do not care about him. Death is reality that many people may ignore. Any time could be our time to die. Every day you will hear of accident. Every day you will hear of many things. There are a lot of undesirable element everywhere. Please reflect on what King Solomon personally testified in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18 to 19. Reflect on this. I hated all things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me, and who knows whether the person will be wise or foolish, yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. And you know the story. Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon, who succeeded him as king of Israel, was not very wise as him. After a few weeks of being king of Israel, Israel was divided into two, northern kingdom and southern kingdom. So what happened to the toil, the work of King Solomon? It was not very well managed by his son. Everything we accumulate on earth will remain on earth. It will remain on earth. So make sure that you have stored up treasures for yourselves in heaven. Make sure of that. As we celebrate Advent season, we remember that Christ returns. He will return and take us into his heaven anytime sooner. Even as you celebrate with your family, with your relatives, when you celebrate, do you remember to pray? You pray before eating? That is our tradition. Normally we pray before eating. But do you pray after you are satisfied? Do you remember to pray and thank God? Wow, Lord, thank you for this delicious food. Thank you, Lord, for this delicious drink. Thank you, Lord. Do you pray? Which is biblical? What is taught in the Bible? Is it biblical to pray before eating or after eating? What do you think? Well, our forefathers say, let's pray first before we eat. And then back in the countryside, there's complaint. Why is it that we just have this food? I don't like this food. This is burnt food. They complain. Yet they thank God, right? But we can learn from the instruction of the Lord to Israel in the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 to 14. Remember this. Let's read. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good lands he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herd and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is real. This is happening even in this church. In the past, many new arrivals say they are Christians back in the Philippines, say they attended Baptist church in the Philippines. They come here, they attended churches, they attend the Temple's Evangelical Church. They attend prayer meeting. What's your prayer request? Pray for stable job. What else? Pray for house. What else? Pray for car. Okay, God answered. God granted. You will know it after a few years, a few months. That person will not be here. Don't attend prayer meeting anymore. They forget the Lord. They are satisfied. Have fine houses. They settle down and forget the Lord. It's a sad story, but it's a reality. The generation of the Israelites who crossed the Jordan River, when they entered the Promised Land, they were very grateful. They served the Lord faithfully. The next generation of Israelites who were born in Canaan, forgot the Lord, served God of Canaanites. Same is true with immigrants in Canada. The first generation immigrants, they are faithful to the Lord. Those who were born in Canada, they serve the gods of Canada, materialistic world. It's sad, but it's a reality. Materialism and worldly pleasure cause them to forget the Lord. And Christians are not exempted. It happens in all generations. If materialism and worldly pleasure cause us to neglect the Lord for a while, we must seek his forgiveness. Remember, the Lord loves us. He cares for us. Even when you forget him, ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I was not able to attend prayer meeting. Why? The pandemic made me not like attending prayer meeting anymore, and I seldom attend worship service. It's the pandemic. Lord, ask God for forgiveness. God pardons us when we repent. In verse 8 it says, let's read, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers all multitude of sin. The love of God for us was practically manifested when he let his son Jesus Christ paid all our sins on the cross. By faith, we trust that the Lord took away our sins and nailed them on the cross, crucified them with Christ. Christ shed his blood on the cross. His blood washed away our sin. What does that mean? When our sin was washed away by the blood of Christ, we do not follow sin anymore. We sincerely repent of our sins God forgives us. When God forgives us, He forgets our sins. Now, do you sense guilt feeling when you ask God for forgiveness? Why can you not forget when God says He forgets the sin He forgives? Because we are limited. We are easily controlled by sin, material things. Do you sincerely believe how the Lord declares forgiveness in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34? Let's read together. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. When we ask for forgiveness, when we repent of our sins, God forgive us. He will not say, oh, I remember your sin. You did this and that. No, He won't confuse us anymore. He forget what He forgive. Forgiveness is the message of the Advent season. Christ was born to save us, save everyone who believes in Him. Faith in Christ, when we say we have faith in Christ, that includes our repentance. We ask God for forgiveness. We ask God for forgiveness because we believe that God forgives us. He forgives us when we sincerely repent of our sins. If we just cannot sincerely repent, ask the Lord. Lord, help me sincerely repent of my sin. Help me, Lord. Give me that sincerity that I would repent of my sin. Don't just try to deceive yourself just because you ask the Lord for forgiveness is that you very sincere. Ask God to help you be sincere. Repentance is practical manifestation. It practically manifests when our life has changed from wickedness to righteousness. This is what we do before. This is what we do now. We no longer desire to follow our old sinful self. We eagerly desire to follow Christ and behave in godly righteousness before God and others. But why is it? Why is it that many church attendees are still bothered by materialism somehow? Why are we still bothered by materialism? What could we do so that every moment of our life, even at work, at school, playing, even in traveling, we devote ourselves to the Lord? How can we have joy? Joy to prioritize our preparation for our eternal destination. So that everything we do, every day, going, driving, going to work, going to school, going to where we are going, we continue to remember that we prepare for our eternal destination. What should we do? We can learn from the Magi, or Magi, the wise men from the East. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, let's read this passage. They went on their way. In the star they had seen, when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with a gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Here's a trivia question. Where did the Magi find the baby Jesus? Where was Jesus staying when the Magi find him? Jesus and Mary was in a house, coming to the house, it says. It's not a cave, just like what you see in the Christmas cards or anything that you may have been. It's not in a manger anymore, that most of the time when the Magi, the wise men, presenting their gift, Jesus was still lying in a manger. So probably it's not right after Jesus was born. Maybe a month after Jesus was born, that was when they found him. But the shepherd, they were the ones who saw him when Jesus was lying in the manger. All right? Now look at this. Jesus and Mary was in the house when the wise men found him. They were overjoyed. They were overjoyed when they see the star. Before that, they don't know where to go. They reached Jerusalem. They don't know where to go. So they asked King Herod, where can we find the child who is supposed to be the king of the Jews? Go and find him. Then tell me, return to me and tell me when you find him. But the authorities should be the most knowledgeable of all things, but they were misled. The wise men tried their best. That is, when we don't know, we ask the authorities, right? That is how we do. We ask other people, those knowledgeable people, we ask them for direction, right? And many times, that is what we do. Go to the internet, what is how to's, because the internet, the Google is the God of this generation. We ask them for guidance, how to do this, how to do that. And because they are the wise, the authority in this generation, and we do that. That is how, what is reflected when the wise men ask the authorities in Jerusalem. But they were not of, they cannot help them. But when they saw the light, it says, when they saw the stars, the star, they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. That term, overjoyed, in the original manuscript, is the same term is used in the fruit of the Spirit, joy. In the original term, it's the same term. Although, so that term overjoyed in the fruit of the Spirit, it should be overjoy. The fruit of the Spirit is overjoy. It is a proper translation of it. It's not just simple joy. When it says joy, in our mind, it's just very simple joy. You can have this joy and that joy, bigger joy, but it should be the best translation should be overjoyed, the fruit of the Spirit. The wise men followed the light of the star that led them to the house where Jesus was. They were overjoyed and presented him precious gifts. That joy they have in their heart, they spontaneously presented precious gifts. Think about this. Did the wise men come from the east, travel to the west? Let's bring this gift to the king of the Jews. Did they plan about that? The Bible did not say. But some scholars interpret that probably that these wise men are also businessmen. That the gift that they presented were also the business that they were selling in the west. That's while they come from the east, going to the west to do their business, they also followed. It's not just one mission that they did to follow the star. That is other scholars' interpretation. It could be that they have personal agenda too, going west, but they prioritize following the star at that moment. So when they bring the precious gifts that they have, they just took it from their merchants, from their products that they have going to the west. The most precious from their product at that time. Meaning the Magi, if they were businessmen, different kind of businessmen, because some of them gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it did not say there were only three kings. No, it did not. And it did not say they were kings. It did not. It says Magi, or wise men. Our Lord Jesus declared in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life. Truly, when we follow Christ, He lights our way to the fullness of life He promised. We follow Him. Many times we think, oh, this is my ambition. But was your dream when you were young been a reality ever since? Pray that you will understand, you will know, you will identify the plan of God for you, the thing He prepared for you, and follow that, and you will have fullness of life. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in us. When the Holy Spirit produces fruit in us, we have love, we have joy, we have peace. What do we do when we are overjoyed? Parents, what do you do when you sense that overjoy in your heart because your children are doing well in school or somewhere else and they're playing something? You are overjoyed. What do? You prepare something, gift, right? You just want to express that joy in your heart to present to your children that you really are appreciate. You sense that joy being parents of what your children are doing. They are doing well, even if they are just obeying you, right? The wise men brought treasures, presented them to Jesus. The Lord did not tell them, come and bring me presents. He did not require them. It was spontaneous to them to present precious treasures because they were overjoyed. Are we considered wise when we bring our treasures before the Lord? When we sense that joy, overjoy, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us, presenting treasures before the Lord becomes spontaneous, not reluctant, not compelled. This is why this church make it sure that we do not compel you. If you want to become members of this church, we don't compel you to give your tithes. It should be when you give the tithes of God, it should be from your heart. The idea of non-believing world, they think that preacher, he preaches about giving because he wants to have salary. No, the Lord can provide for us even if you don't give, but you miss it. We give because it is our joy to give back to the Lord. That it should be our reason. Do not give because the pastor preaches about giving. Don't give because if you are compelled, because somebody was telling he was giving and you are compelled to give because you do not want to be left out. But ask the Lord, Lord, give me that joy to give first. When you give, you sense that joy of giving without even telling others that you are giving, because that joy, deep down, overjoy in your heart is far better experience than anything you will ever experience because you obey the Lord. When you are overjoyed, celebrating the first Advent, looking forward to the second Advent of Christ, what precious treasure do you wish to present before the Lord? Today, we lighted the orange candle. We make it different color so that we can easily identify. Other churches would use the same color of candle, but we use orange for our tradition as the Maples Evangelical Church to represent joy. Represent the joy we sense when the Holy Spirit fills our heart. Do you have that joy in celebrating the first advent of Christ and expecting his coming again. What precious treasure do you wish to present before the Lord? Shall we stand up and let's pray? Search your hearts. Do you sense that joy from the Lord? The joy of expecting Christ would return sooner. Do you have that joy? Overjoy. If not, then ask the Lord to increase your faith. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit pray that the Holy Spirit produce overjoy in your heart.